Thank you. Good morning. I actually do have a very definitive opinion on the need for the SDL. I came to Microsoft about 6 years ago, and when I told my friends I was going to Microsoft to do security, they laughed because I used those two words in the same sentence. And before I get into the presentation, I want to build on two things Brian said about why I think the SDL is so important. The first is I have in my career at various times been responsible for network security. And in the early years, I would meet these AMP testers who would go in and find vulnerabilities and generate reports. And sometimes they would be fixed and sometimes not. But when I took over network security at Microsoft, my first question to the team was, how many years do you think you will be doing this? And the answer was forever. The problem with starting security at the back end, doing attack and penetration testing, for example, is you will find something wrong in a network, you will fix it. You will find something else wrong, you will fix it. You will find something else wrong, you will fix it. But the overall state of your security doesn't improve. And at the end of the day, what people really have to think about is not so much the one-offs, but are there things in our business practices, in our processes, in our development processes and the like, that if we correct them once, we solve a whole class of problems? So the first point is that it's really important to have processes that are not just case-specific, but really try and raise the bar across the board in a meaningful way. The second thing is, you know, there's been a lot of cultural change at Microsoft around security and in our development practices. And, you know, in my corporate role, I'm responsible for security, I'm responsible for privacy, I'm responsible for environmental sustainability, and I'm responsible for quality. When I think about all of those things, I always think of my work falling into three buckets. The first bucket is essentially governance. How do we manage ourselves? What do we do and how do we do it? The second one is the value proposition, which is if we do the things right, do we actually increase value for our customers, our brand, and other things? And the reason that's important is when you can show the people doing the work that there's a value proposition, they will gratefully and happily do it. When it's just governance, you often hear people talk about security as a tax, right? So you have to sort those things out. And then the third piece is outreach, which we'll talk about too, which is telling people what we're doing and sharing our best practices. As a leading software developer, we know that we are critical, not just to secure our stuff, but help secure the ecosystem on which everyone is dependent. And I do mean everyone. You know, when I came to Microsoft, people would say things like, you know, we have to protect our customers. I say, yes, we do, but it's not just our customers. You could be someone who hates Microsoft, has never purchased a Microsoft product, but when Slammer hit, you couldn't get your money out of your bank ATM. So you've been impacted by us, even though you're not a customer. Okay, the entire world is dependent. So when I think about how we governance, I always think about the same things, which is, do we have clear policies and statements about what we want people to do? Have we given them good training so they know how to do it? Have we provided consulting services, because some of this stuff is hard, and you can train people, but they often have questions, right? Have we given them the tools and processes to make it painless to do it, or as painless as possible? And then do we have measurements so we can make sure that we're doing the things that we have committed to do? So we undertook this with the SDL. We basically changed the way we develop software. Threat models are critical. We had built tools like Prefix and Prefast and others. You know, we do fuzz testing, we do all of these things, and we have an FSR at the end. We have an audit process to see if the sausage we have made actually meets the requirements we set for ourselves. And I think the evidence is fairly overwhelming. I can say this as a former, you know, lawyer and prosecutor. I believe beyond a reasonable doubt that the SDL has had a huge impact on, you know, the quality, the security quality of our products. And in fact, you know, if I go back 5 years, I dealt with a lot of enterprise customers who said, we're thinking about switching to Linux, why security? No one ever says that to me anymore. They may say they want to use Linux for other reasons, acquisition costs. They may say because they're concerned about competition in the marketplace. But security has gone away as a focal point. And it's because I think in large part the SDL, the work of people in this room and elsewhere who have made this real. And you can see, you know, we focused on Windows initially, but of course we have a trustworthy computing group and do SDL in Office and SQL Server, and the numbers are fairly staggering. And so it means that this is really foundational work that we have to continue, and we will continue. And we also have to think about how the ecosystem is changing and what that means for the SDL. In the initial years when we started this, Windows was the big target. Obviously, it's ubiquitous, so it's an attractive target. But what we have found, of course, is the attacks are moving up the application layer, up the stack. And when you read analysts like Gartner and you say, well, why is that happening, they actually cite two things. The first is that operating systems are getting more secure. Great. But realize that for operating systems to get more secure, only a small pool of organizations have to, you know, get religion around security and do it well. If Microsoft, Sun, Novell, the Linux community says, yes, we're going to make security a priority, all the operating systems rise. At the application layer, it's not just a question of five or six organizations. People write applications in their garage and they can distribute them globally on the web. At the application layer, it's a much different problem. It's not about educating and refining your processes for a small group. It's doing it for the planet. And that's a huge challenge to come to grips with. The second reason they said attacks are moving up the stack is because, look, the internet has value. It's globally connected, it's anonymous, it's untraceable in some cases, and there are a lot of rich targets. And so when I was a prosecutor, you know, I came up with the Charney Theorem. It was a theory I wrote, and I named it after myself. Take notes. You ready? Here's the theory. There's always a percentage of the population up to no good. That's the whole theory. The reason it's an important theory, though, is as more people get connected, as more rich targets exist online, you should expect that the percentage of the criminal population will move to the internet. And they'll do that in part because of anonymity and untraceability. If you tell the criminal population, here's a place where you can get a lot of things of value, credit card numbers, health records that you can sell to, you know, news organizations, whatever the case may be, here's a place where you can go get a lot of things of value, and the odds of you being identified and caught are slim or none, they will migrate to that technology. And a lot of the valuable things that people seek are at the application layer. Why try and penetrate Windows and get a keystroke logger on my mom's machine and hope she enters a credit card number if they can get into a database application that aggregates thousands of credit card numbers and take them all at once? So for a host of reasons, attacks are moving up the stack. And so for us, part of the challenge is not only securing our own applications, which is part of the challenge, but we have the SDL and we have internal mechanisms to do that, but how do we start addressing in a more holistic way the ecosystem? So I talked about the challenges that we have ahead. So let me talk a little bit about the strategic initiatives. You know, as I said earlier, when you're designing something that you want to scale across a company or across the globe, you have to think about the different elements that will make up a successful program. The things like the training, the tools, the prescriptive guidance, and the like. And so what we're focused on in the year ahead is three things. In the prescriptive guidance area, an SDL optimization model that actually, you know, mirrors to some extent what we have done internally with the company. Another way to phrase this is, you know, when you start a new program, whether it's security or privacy, some area where there is a big public concern and you're starting somewhat afresh to try and address it, very often the first thing you have to do is just stop the bleeding. You have to get some, you know, triage in place. And then after, you know, it's almost like a medical condition. Someone comes into the emergency room, the first thing you do is the triage, you stop the bleeding, then you start collecting more data to figure out what's going on, get a big picture, then you figure out what kind of plan you're going to have for treatment, you know, and what the prognosis is, and you start to implement on the plan. It's no different in security or privacy in other places. So the optimization model is basically how you think about moving from a stop-the-bleeding world to a world where you're really getting ahead of your adversaries. I mean, one of the big challenges we have, of course, is that the adversaries, the criminals, are not stagnant. Anytime that you implement any kind of security measure, then the other side will do something to either counter that or to move off in a different direction. So you have to think about how you grow your capability. The second thing is, how do we scale globally? Microsoft is not a, you know, academic institution. We're a commercial software company. We share a lot of what we know and we make our tools available, but you also need to think about scale. And then the third thing is, how do you design and populate the planet with increased technology and tools that make this stuff easier to do and more cost effective to do? So because, you know, if you're building commercial product, to some extent time is time to market, and time to market is money. So when we think about optimizing, we, you know, as I said initially, we were reactive and really just, you know, plugging the holes, the buffer overruns and the other things that had been around, and building tools to try and, as I said, remove them as a class of problems, because that way you get more, you know, return on your investment and you solve a bigger customer need faster. And then, you know, as we started doing that, then we started getting more proactive in our security science and trying to think about where the world was headed, and can you build tools and look for things and find things before the adversaries do and exploit them. And then you have to think about how you control and manage risk. You know, for all organizations, one of the challenges we've had, at least initially, is people thought security was binary. You're secure or you're not. No, that's wrong. It's a question of how much security do you have. You know, how many people locked your door when you left your house today? Really? That few, huh? Trusting group. How many of you think locking the door keeps a burglar out? No, the reason you lock your door is you've managed your risk, and if you're lucky, your neighbor did not. And that way, you know, burglars who are opportunistic will just go somewhere else, right? And so it's all about risk management. If you had a Rembrandt in your house, a real Rembrandt, you would have a lock, an alarm system, and a Rottweiler, and the bad guy would bring wire cutters and a T-bone steak. And you would start the escalation between offense and defense, right? And so one of the things is, it is a matter of risk management for people. And the big enterprise customers know it. Consumers actually do it all the time, okay? So they walk to the corner, they go to a crosswalk, they wait till the light turns green, they look both ways to make sure that, you know, no one is running a light. That's just defense in depth, risk management. So we all do it, but in the computer security area, part of the problem is it's opaque and not transparent. Most people know, big car coming at me at high speed, danger. In the internet context, the risks are not always well understood. And so getting the customers to understand, you know, how you can manage risk, do defense in depth, is critically important. And then eventually you do want to drive down the amount of risk and minimize it. Note, it's not eliminated, it's minimized. There are only three things you can do with risk. You can accept it, you can mitigate it, or you can transfer it. And when you transfer it, you accept the risk, but you put the financial burden on someone else. You take out insurance, it transfers the economic risk, but not the real risk of the event. So my house could still burn down, but I won't have the economic risk. So to some extent, you know, customers know. They either have to say, okay, I'm going to accept the residual risk, but I want to mitigate as much as I can, as cost effectively as I can. And then I can think about transferring the risk that I've accepted. So the goal is, of course, to make software better and better and better so that customers can mitigate their risk at less cost and accept less risk, at the same time that they're embracing new business models and doing more things. So we have a pilot program where we've teamed up with the companies who are listed on the screen, and many of whom are here today, to help scale the SDL. These are companies who can help customers deploy the SDL in their own environments. Remember, I said earlier, part of the problem with the challenge at the application layer is the sheer number of people writing applications. And all the large enterprise customers write their own stuff, they outsource stuff, they hire contractors to write stuff, and they use our stuff. So their risk in terms of, you know, their software security is very distributed and diverse. And a lot of those companies, as they've seen the slides that I showed you earlier about the reduction in vulnerabilities in Windows and SQL, and we have them for Office and other products too, more and more of the large enterprise customers say to me, we need to emulate this. How do we do it? And, you know, for the last couple of years, the way we have done it is send Michael Howard and Steve Lipner all over the planet. That doesn't scale. They get frequent flyer miles, but it doesn't scale. So we really have to think about, you know, partnering with people who have knowledge and expertise in this area and making more of it available. And then, as I said, we have to do more with tools. Because, you know, it's fine to train people and to give them the knowledge they need, but they have to execute on that knowledge. And if it's a manual process, it simply becomes too labor-intensive. The ROI becomes too difficult. And the other problem, of course, with manual processes is people make mistakes. They get tired and, you know, sometimes they get sloppy, etc. And tools can be more efficient and effective over really large code bases than humans can be. Tools are not a substitute for humans. Some things, you know, as you know, sometimes we just don't have the capability to automate everything we want to do. But we want to automate as much as we can, in part, to get scale. So a lot of today is going to be focused on those things, about how we, you know, grow this capability globally, how we partner with people to do it, how we introduce new tools to make it better and more effective. So I hope you really enjoy your day. And with that, I'll turn it back to Brian. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. All right, so up next we have Danny Dillon from EMC going to talk about their threat modeling process. Give us just a second to get the slides up. Don't leave your seat, and we'll be back on show in just a minute.